From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. I am in Oxford, Mississippi, the mobile Clark Ford studio. Neil McCready in the beautiful Westin in downtown Jackson, the site of our night with Andy Kennedy last August. And very, very close to Cathead Distillery, where Neil and Jay entertained the masses prior to Ole Miss and Auburn last night. Speaking of, Rebels 5, Tigers 4. Ole Miss got the game they had to have. Now they deal with Casey Mize tonight and then play a game 3 tomorrow. Tonight, 6:30 from Swayze Field. The Rebels hit a couple of home runs, got 7 outs from Parker Kuraisi on a very efficient 31 pitches, and a nice start from Ryan Rollison. So we'll discuss that today. Probably have a little fun since we're not in the same place. It's a little tougher when we are remote, but we're going to get you a show today. We'll see where it goes from here. You can, if you're in Jackson, stay at the Westin. We would appreciate that. Go visit Cathead. But if you're in Oxford, the Oxford Exxon, come into town today. Get the ribs. Get the lunch special for $4.99. Get a daiquiri, as little as $3 for said daiquiri, as large as 44 ounces if you'd like a lighter daiquiri today from the Oxford Exxon. Go next door to the Oxford Crystal. I saw that they had several customers bragging on one of their employees in the drive-thru this morning for being quite cheery. They've got a good breakfast. Go hang out at the Oxford Crystal as well, and you probably need a car to get through the drive-thru, so I would recommend Clark Ford in Amory.
I would as well. 662-257-1900 is that number. You call that number, you ask for Corey Clark, you tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. No hassle. It's really an efficient, easy way to make an automotive purchase. I've done it. You should check into it as well. Get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey do for you what he's done for me and so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and let's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience with the new Ford. Great service, delivery options, all of those things at Clark Ford and Amory. And make it even better, tell Corey at the end of the deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off. The bottom line, from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
You know, I'm going to get to Ole Miss in a second. I'm going to get to Cathead in a second. I'm going to get some other things. A good way to make sure you remain coaching in junior college is to throw a kid 162 pitches in a game.
I saw that. What did...
He's committed to Southern Miss. It's not like it's the sophomore we talked about. Kid committed to Southern, 101 strikes, 162 total pitches.
I mean, I'm trying not to be hyperbolic with this, but if that's my son, I'm furious. And if I'm Southern Miss, if I'm their coaching staff, I'm livid today.
8.1 innings, 9 hits, 5 runs, 3 earned, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks. 162 pitches.
And don't do this, not you, Chase, but you, yeah. You out there in podcast land, don't do the snowflake thing. No. You're revealing your ignorance when you do the snowflake thing on this. You can do a lot of snowflake things that stick. This is not one. Literally anybody in baseball, anybody at any level, would tell you that this is not something you do unless, like we talked about yesterday, there's always a caveat, unless it is a kid who is basically done or is done and says to the coach, hey, coach, the next time I throw a ball is going to be with some little kid somewhere. I'll hand it to me. I'll go till I can't go anymore. Okay, that's funny then. It's good. Good story. This is a kid that plans to pitch college ball. They let him throw 162 pitches. The arm is not designed for that. If it were, you'd see people doing it more often. They don't. I promise you Casey Mize won't throw 162 pitches tonight.
The Tigers GM might come out of the box seats if he starts to. Just saying.
I mean, it just.
I mean, at what pitch limit would the Tigers dude look over and go, hey, we might have a little. He has to get on the phone and call somebody else and go, we might have a little issue here.
Anything over about 110, you start getting a little antsy.
Yeah. Then at about 125, you look down at try to catch eyes with Butch. You go, hey.
At about 125, you're probably vocal with Butch.
Yeah.
Hey, Butch, this is the Tigers, the other Tigers. That's enough.
Yeah. I know he's yours right now. We're paying him $8 million in about a month. So could you stop? Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I would think that before the Tigers brass could get involved, other people would be. I mean, it's insane. I don't understand. Is it that important to win a junior college game?
Well, I think it was the playoffs.
Yeah, because real quick, who won the JUCO title last year?
Dude, I don't know.
Man, I have resisted the urge to get on my high horse about sports and youth. I mean, under anything under like the college level, where we've just kind of lost our minds. Because I've seen, as a dad, I've seen both extremes of it this year in two different sports, and I'm trying just to bite my tongue and not say things because I know people listen. And I don't want to upset people, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings, and I don't want to turn it into a war. But man, that kid has a chance to go play at the college level, at the major college level. USM's a really nice program, and that plays high level college baseball. They're an NCAA tournament team almost every year. He has an opportunity to go pitch at that level, and you jeopardize it for a junior college playoff game.
Yeah. So,
and I'd love for someone to tell me that I'm wrong, but I don't see how you can. He has an opportunity to play high level college baseball next year. Southern Miss plays high level college baseball, and you jeopardize that opportunity. I don't understand it.
So, did you have a good time last night?
We did. We had a good time. The people at Cathead were, as always, awesome, and. It took us a little while to get Jay ran into some traffic. I think Jay likes to make fun of Siri. Had Jay asked Siri how far it was from Montgomery to Jackson, he would have left a little earlier. And so he got there right at 5. We got set up, everything was fine. We started about 5:25, and when we signed off, I think Ole Miss was ahead maybe 2-0.
They hit a home run in the bottom of the second, so that's probably about right.
Yeah. So it's like 2-0 at the time. And then we visited. Cathead gave us a tour. We got to taste some of their whiskey, which was really, really good. I'm probably not supposed to say a whole lot about it, but it was really, really good. I thought of you because it was what we tried was 125 proof, and Chase, you would have never known it.
That's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal. It was really good. And yeah, we had a good time. Visited with a lot of people that were there. Stayed till the final pitch, and then Jay and Courtney and I got a bite to eat and called it a day. But it was fun to visit with the people at Cathead. Thanks to everybody who came out. I'm sure when Jay sobers up, he'll throw the podcast up and you can hear it. It was pretty funny. I think Jay might have done the Andy Kennedy thing and had just a little too much honeysuckle vodka. And but it was okay. It was good. It was a lot of fun. And so glad we did it. We'll try to do it again sometime.
Yeah, you could say he was slacking on the editing last night because I actually was looking for it as I got in my car to drive home, and it was nowhere to be found. So
he was not in a position or a condition, I should say, last night to edit a podcast.
Okay.
But he had a good time. It'll be up today, and it's all good.
And you got to stay at the Westin again, which is good. So all.
Yeah, stayed at the Westin. If your travel ever takes you through Jackson and you need to stay overnight in Jackson, this is a free advertisement. It's a great hotel. Just fantastic service. The restaurant downstairs is terrific. Chase can vouch for that.
Can.
Just a really neat hotel. So if your travel needs take you through or your business needs take you through Jackson, you should check it out. It's right next to the U.S. courthouse downtown and 0.4 mile from Cathead.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite stories that's kind of overlooked was we were doing that thing in Jackson last year, and we were in their bar and sampling their cocktail menu, which is pretty good as well, especially for a hotel bar, but just in general. And AK walks in, and he's saying hello, and he's sitting down. He orders a drink. We're just shooting the crap. And then he leaves to go visit somebody, comes back like 15 minutes before the show, looks over at Neil and goes, "So what are we doing?" They're going, "We've been promoting this for about 6 weeks."
Yeah. He said, "So what are we doing?" And I said, just follow along.
Yeah.
I had the audacity to say, I'll carry you. No.
Yeah. It was so funny. He goes, "So we're talking?" He's like, "Yeah, we're talking." He goes, "All right." Just kind of turned his face on, walked in the room, and here we go. Yeah. Speaking of, I'll get to baseball in a minute. I know everybody wants to hear a few thoughts there, but you got anything or kind of what's the read on the kid? Ole Miss gets a big basketball commitment after we went off air as Franco committed to Ole Miss over Oklahoma.
Yeah, Franco Miller Jr. committed to Ole Miss. It's a really good pickup for them. It's a good pickup, period. It's a really good pickup considering the time of year. Oklahoma was heavily involved. The kid is originally from Freeport, Bahamas. He's still from there. He played a year at a prep school in Canada, in Toronto. But Buddy Hield is from Freeport. So Buddy Hield, who now is an NBA player, former OU player, got involved in the recruiting, which is legal now. Didn't do anything illegal. And it was difficult to overcome. Minnesota was involved. Oregon was involved. It is a really good pickup. He'll be asked to, at the very minimum, provide immediate depth in the backcourt. At a maximum, he could be the starting point guard at some point next year, depending on his transition to the college game. They still have 3 targets left. This is up on the rebelgrove.com message board. On the Grove, you can read about those 3 guys. And yes, they're all 3 takes. They have 1 available spot at this moment. They have 1 spot open. They have 3 recruits that are still involved. It's very late in the process. Today's May the 11th. So there's another like 6 days or so when guys can sign, I think. Don't hold me to that exactly, but it's roughly that. Do the math. They'll take all 3. They would take 2. They will take 1. They want to make sure they get 1. They'd love to get all 3. And if they get all 3, they'll take all 3. And for people who go, well, how does that work? Well, it works because math works. So if you add 3 and you have 1.
You got to subtract 2.
That means, as you look at Chase, Hatley High School, ladies and gentlemen, Hatley High School, you have to subtract 2. And so they would subtract 2.
I took college algebra 3 times. I'm very astute on my math. All right.
Not, at some point, the basic math is not complicated. It, which is what we always say in recruiting guys every single year. And I'm not making fun of fans here because I understand the question. When they say, how are you going to make those numbers work? We always just say the numbers always work out.
Do you think your life is better or would be more difficult had you not taken trigonometry or like business stats? Do you think you've actually used those skills whatsoever since college?
I took stats at Ole Miss. I took a kind of a high level stats course, if I remember.
I took political statistics, and that was terrible.
I did okay. I did pretty well in that.
But do you think you've used it? Do you think it was necessary or important or pragmatic
for my life as a journalist?
Yeah, or just in general, your life. Yeah.
No.
If you're not engineering or building something, it's irrelevant.
When you think about the number of courses that you take that have
actual application,
it's really small.
Yeah, I'm a fan of liberal arts educations with communicating and writing and reasoning over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
So anyway,
well, you know, it's funny. No, it's funny. You bring that up, and it will be quick. But it's Friday, and I don't know what the heck there is for us to really talk about. We get to Friday, and we're kind of toast. everyone talks about this, the STEM education. Like, I mean, you're getting
science, technology, engineering, and math, for those that aren't aware.
Yeah, and those are obviously great fields, but what they're discovering is that those fields are producing graduates who can't communicate.
Really?
Yeah. And so now it's kind of the pendulum is beginning to swing back to the some of the liberal arts fields. And it's like a dad of a 17-year-old who's got a year left before she goes to college. I don't have any idea what to tell her. And she's kind of all over the board. Man, we were on that tour at the University of Arkansas, and I heard some guy behind me say, "Wouldn't you love to be back in college?" And I thought, no. I understand what he meant about the college life and all that stuff, but having to make academic decisions and career decisions and pick a field where there are actual jobs and computers and robots aren't going to replace my job. No, I do not envy that at all.
Let me spin that a different way. Is there a time in your life, be it college or yesterday at lunch, where you could go back and redo something or do it again?
Oh, sure.
Well, where would you start? Like, what if I said, hey, here's a time machine. You get to go back to a date. What is it? And then you have to redo everything from there up.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't mean one instance. I mean you have to relive from that point back to today. Like Mr. Destiny kind of stuff.
Oh, where you'd go back and restart.
Yeah. You could technically alter your whatever. What's the date? Because, like, Mr. Destiny was that really dumb movie where the guy strikes out in the high school playoff game. And he goes, if I had just hit that home run, and he realizes that he gets to go back and he hits the home run and he becomes rich and famous and married to the, or not famous, but rich and married to the homecoming queen and all this, but his life was in complete hell in all these other ways. And he ends up wanting his old life back. It's one of those, you know, morality pieces, if you will, wrapped into a really bad movie.
And I know this isn't your questions and I'm twisting it a little and I apologize. Fine. From a pure career standpoint, leaving the rest of everything else just alone for the moment, from a pure career standpoint, there was a moment, you'll laugh at this, I'd started at the Oxford Eagle back in the mid-90s, and the Ole Miss beat actually opened up at the Clarion Ledger. And I know people go now, and newspapers are dead, and newspapers most certainly are dying, there's no question. But in the mid-90s, they weren't dead. And they certainly weren't dying. And I didn't believe that I was remotely qualified for that job. Even though I was covering Ole Miss basically at the time. And I had a master's degree and all that stuff. And I probably was qualified. I mean, I was qualified, but I didn't think I was. If I had a do-over, I probably would have applied for that job because I probably would have gotten it. And my career as a sports writer probably would have taken off at that point. I would have been 24, 25 years old on an SEC beat. Probably would have been in a position to propel me to do some of the things that I always thought that I wanted to do.
Those jobs, at least before kind of the current landscape, and even now, frankly, in a way, but I've got a lot of examples from before, that has been propeller type jobs through Ole Miss and State at the Clarion Ledger.
Oh, absolutely.
Ian Mike Wallace, Sekou Smith.
Ian Rappaport?
Yeah.
A lot of people, yeah. Because Rusty Hampton, who was the sports editor at the time, said, "I was surprised you didn't qualify." And I remember the conversation.
Apply, not qualify.
Yeah, I was surprised you didn't apply. And I thought that was a mistake. But I never once during the process thought, oh, I could get that job. It's never crossed my mind. So I guess that would be, if I could change something going back in time for me, just one quality, I would have had a lot more just kind of self-confidence in general. But it doesn't work that way. For me, that's always been a very fleeting thing.
So you'd have a hard time picking a splice moment to gain more self-confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as you get older and you look back and you're like, oh, well, you know, I probably misevaluated that. But it's hindsight 2020. There's kind of a cliche about that. That's true.
Do you think you would have elevated it if somebody goes, okay, Neil, you're a sophomore at Ruston again. Go ask out Jane Doe. She's going to say yes. Would that have done it?
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. That kind of.
Is, yeah, like, is there a jumping off point for something to lean back to go, whoa, okay.
I mean, we're doing a deep dive here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not careful. We're doing a deep dive into some mental health issues that people probably need to be aware of. but, you know, it, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that stuff spirals as for people. You know, for me, it's I can laugh about it and all that stuff now, but I catch myself watching like my kids and stuff, making sure they seem confident. And it's the one thing like with Carson, man, I say and do things and stuff to instill confidence in him. If you told me I could give him any one quality, it would be self-confidence in bunches.
No doubt.
Just as much of it as you can get. I mean,
confidence and a motor.
Yeah. Well, he's got the motor and I always just make sure he's got confidence. That's the one thing I want him to have. I don't want to repeat the mistakes. So, you know, I want him to, and no one made a mistake with me. Let me make that clear. It was just kind of a mental thing. It was a hurdle that I struggle still to this day to get over. So with him, it's always push that. I know I didn't answer your question,
but no,
kind of on a deep dive. What about you? Is there a moment for you that you would go change?
I don't know if there really is professionally, because I mean, there's a real obvious one when I made a really bad decision, lost some money, tanked some stuff, but it kind of led me to where I am. So I don't know if that was necessarily a poor decision in that it was overcomable and it's something that did not long-term impact thing.
You took a risk.
Yeah, you know, you learn from that. I mean, I look back and go, hey, that was really dumb. And knowing what I know now, I can tell you 25 reasons why that was really dumb. But at the time, sure, whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, you took a risk. Sometimes, I mean, obviously with risk, sometimes things don't work, but you can learn a lot from failure.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. So, yeah, no, I mean, I for the most part, I mean, you know, without really getting into a deep dive, this isn't the Dr. Drew podcast. So, I mean, without really getting into it, no, I don't think so. I mean, everything's okay. And I mean,
I'm just laughing about Dr. Drew.
And well, yeah, I mean, seriously, like, you know, like I'm not laying on a couch right now somewhere. So it's not like, hey, what's the limit? Well, you know, April, come on. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this thing can really spiral out of control.
Hey, before we go to baseball and stuff, and I know we have some ads to read.
Yeah.
And if you want to, we can tease this and get to it on the other side of the ads.
Yeah, let's do that.
You and I have only talked briefly about this Matt Patricia thing, and I listened to his press conference yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm in a hotel, and they provide complimentary newspapers, and I appreciate it. Some of the people that are writing columns calling Patricia a dope, I'm not sure I understand.
Okay. Tell me about it in a second. First, okay. I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCut Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. I'm looking outside at my lawn right now that they've been working on for over a year, signing your contract, get some pressure washing deals as well. 662-607-7773.
Hey, Ole Miss fans, living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Ballack Ferris with Briggs Freeman Southspies a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. She loves cheering on the Rebs. She would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and buy their new one. Give her a call, 469-867-1734. Go to her website, www.laurenandkelly, that's with an EY.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Get the float down option where you lock in the current rate. If rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You also got underwriting and processing coming from Memphis, so they understand the market for you, a leader in condo financing. And you find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Before we get on the Patricia thing, just a couple quick notes from last night. Ryan Olenek's 23-game hitting streak ended. He went 0 for 4. However, he's paced Ole Miss throughout most of the SEC season. I mean, you look at Olenek, and he hit .516 with 10 doubles during the streak. He had 17 multi-hit games as well. He's leading the SEC in hitting, and I think he's on pace to break the SEC record for batting average in SEC games. So Olenek's streak falls, but Ole Miss wins 5-4. Also, Mike Bianco picks up win 699 last night. That ties Rod Delmonico of Tennessee for fifth all-time in SEC coaching wins. Next up on the list for Mike is number four, Keith Madison, the former coach of Kentucky. He's at 734. So Mike at 699, Delmonico at 699, and then Madison at 734. Mike now fifth all-time in SEC history.
So they had to get a win, and they got it.
That is correct. The Ole Miss had all the pressure last night. They succeeded. Pressure swings now, and all the pressure is on Butch Thompson and Casey Mize tonight. It is – fans hate this. Like, there's already fans on the message board going, hey, he can lose. Yes, he's lost twice this year. He can lose. He leaves the ball up, and you can hit the ball out of the ballpark. But from a pressure standpoint, it's on Auburn, and for Ole Miss, it is somewhat of a free shot.
Look, if you're one game only, and someone says to you today – all right, you got to put $1,000 on this game straight up. You want Auburn or Ole Miss? You're taking Auburn because Mize is pitching. Does it mean that Ole Miss can't win the game? Of course not.
Well, I mean, taking it one spot further, if somebody walks up to you and go, hey, you got to put a you have $1,000 on a college baseball game and you get to pick a pitcher, you're picking Casey Mize.
Of course. Does that mean he's going to win? Well, it's not guaranteed. I mean, yes, he's lost before. He'll lose again.
Yeah, he's lost to Florida and he's lost to Arkansas. He pitched seven innings in both games. He gave up two runs in one of them, and he gave up three runs in the other one.
He's an excellent pitcher. If you're predicting an outcome tonight, you're predicting Auburn to win because of Casey Mize. And frankly, I thought Mike Bianco managed the game last night, not expecting to lose, but knowing that the hill to climb tonight is a tall one.
Yeah, well, you know, it goes beyond that, though. I heard some people go, hey, he knows they're losing tomorrow night. Well, no, that's too simplistic. He coached last night because, number one, you just need the first one. Win the game you're in. Some people go, hey, you can't go to Karacy in the seventh. You go to Karacy whenever the most important inning is, because if you don't get out of the seventh, the ninth might not matter. We had this discussion about last week, too. And what Mike was able to do is, by winning the game, it shifts the mentality levels for tonight more in Ole Miss's favor. Ole Miss has a greater percentage chance to win tonight because they won last night.
There's no doubt. It's exactly... People, I notice this all the time. I'll give you an example, okay? Carrie Underwood, who's married to Mike Fisher, the hockey player for the Nashville Predators, she did a tweet this morning that said, to our three-year-old and to me, Mike Fisher's the greatest hockey player on the planet today, and the Predators, even though it didn't end the way we wanted it to, are the greatest hockey team in history. It's clearly a tweet. Clearly a tweet just supporting her husband, right?
One would think.
the people that come in under that with, you obviously don't understand hockey. Like, oh my God. I literally, if I had hair, I would pull it out. It's last night he managed the game. You and I talked about it. We talked for a little while about a number of things, just kind of work related when I was driving down to Jackson. And one of the things I said to you, and I don't know that you completely agreed with it, but you saw my point. I said, you could argue that tonight's game, meaning Thursday night's game, is the most important game Ole Miss has played in about 4 years. They desperately want to host a regional. They desperately want to stay in the national conversation for a top eight seed. They know what's coming Friday night with this elite arm, and it is an elite arm. I mean, we had a guest on the podcast earlier this week who knows baseball really well, who said this is a guy who could help a Major League Baseball bullpen today.
Yeah, Brian Sikowski.
Brian Sikowski. This is an elite arm. So you knew what's coming on Friday. Can you beat him? Well, sure. But if he's on, it's going to be really hard. And you know you have to get 2 out of 3 to feel good about yourself going into the final week of the regular season. It was a huge game, and I thought Mike managed the game that way. The most important out at the moment was in that seventh inning when Auburn was threatening. You go to your guy. You hand him the ball in that moment, and you get through it, and then you go from there. I'm sure Mike would have loved for Ole Miss to have scored 6 runs in the bottom of the eighth, and he could have gotten Krejci out, but it didn't work that way. I thought he was, like you said earlier, I thought he was pretty efficient. He probably is not available tonight, but he'll be available Saturday. It creates a situation, and I'm guessing here you can correct me, but it creates, as you said, a mentality of now tonight is a free shot. If you lose tonight to Auburn, and Casey Mize goes out there and just does to you what he does to so many others, you can kind of tip your hat and go, okay, well, you know what? We can still we can go win the series on Saturday, and Casey Mize ain't going to pitch. And so that's a great – that's a good spot. Had you lost last night being Ole Miss, well, now you're staring at Casey Mize going, okay, he's going to be tough, and if he beats us
– we're in trouble.
We're in trouble, and we could get swept Saturday, and all of our dreams kind of go out the window. Now, even if Ole Miss loses tonight 6-0 and they look like horse crap, all of their dreams are still very much alive thanks to winning last night. And I thought Mike managed the game that way from a bullpen standpoint. I thought he made the right moves. He got Rollison out. He got to Roth, and he went to Krejci after the error. And I thought it was smart, and it worked, and they won. And I thought it was one of the biggest wins they've had in a long time.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. You know, he gets cost a couple extra pitches and a couple extra runs because of the error there in the seventh. But it is what it is, and you move on, and he made it happen. I wrote about last night, I thought the third inning was probably the most pivotal inning of the game. Auburn gets bases loaded with one out. Rollison had really struggled with shutdown innings this season, where when Ole Miss scores, getting that zero the next half inning to kind of keep the momentum and the rhythm to the game on your side. And he gets a big strikeout, and then Tyler Keenan makes a great play at third base to get out of the inning. And they strand those 3 runners and then add to it. It ends up being 4-0 there a second later. And I thought getting out of that inning changed the entire complexion of the baseball game. So. Anyway, that's that tonight. 6:30, Ole Miss and Auburn from Swayze Field. The Rebels are 26-4 at home. So if nothing else, you like their chances at Swayze to get one more the rest of the weekend. A lot of scouts in attendance last night. They were standing room only.
It tells you how important that home record tells you how important it is to host a regional.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
You know, you got to and then I think from a institution, from an athletic program standpoint, from an institutional standpoint, I think hosting a regional and that those big crowds that you get for those regionals, Ole Miss gets them all the time, those big crowds and just the festive atmosphere that you get at those deals, it's kind of a shot of adrenaline that's kind of needed right now.
Just administrative, I mean, university-wide, you mean?
Yeah, just to kind of feel good. You know, from an athletic standpoint, they've dealt with a lot of stuff. I mean, they've dealt with this stupid investigation that's lasted 17 years or something like that. And they had a basketball season that went bad. And the way that the season ended with AK and a women's basketball team that was awful and had to fire a coach. And you have all of those things happen and all the stuff with Freeze that's still not that – we're not even a year removed from all the massage parlor stuff that was embarrassing to the institution. And I think something good like hosting a regional and the vibes that come from that would just kind of be a little bit of an antidote, if you will.
So did you see where coming out in Todd McNair's testimony, it was basically said that the COIs and the appeals committees don't even really try during appeals hearings?
Yeah, I watched. I don't know if you saw it. Someone put it up on the message board, and I actually hit the button and watched it. I guess it was the USC site had done like an instant analysis of day 17 of the trial.
God, okay.
I know. Well, to their credit, it was informative. There is no what was revealed. And again, I wasn't inside the courtroom, so all those caveats. But the two people that were talking were inside the courtroom. What was revealed inside the courtroom, according to these two people, was that for all of the talk about process, there was no process. For all of the talk about, you know, checks and balances that we always hear about the NCAA, that, hey, there's this process and we follow it and it works. You know, people on the outside don't necessarily understand it, but there's a process and we follow it and it's collaborative and it works. No, not really. What was revealed in that courtroom yesterday is, at least in the appeals process, is it's no, we're going to rubber stamp. There is no process.
No. You're right. So anyway, get back to Patricia. What was it?
So Matt Patricia, the new coach of the Detroit Lions, it was revealed that he, I'm looking for, I don't want to get this wrong. Oh my God. You know who wrote the column that I'm about to reference?
Yeah, I do. I knew it when you were talking about it earlier. I was just going to wait for the punchline.
See, I made the mistake of reading the column without knowing who wrote the column.
Yeah. I saw the column yesterday.
Oh my God.
Friend of the pod wrote the column.
Patricia sure looked like a dope. Look, I don't know what happened. I don't know what didn't happen. And I'm not doing it. You know me, Chase. I've never once done anything to belittle sexual assault.
No.
At all. But he was 21 years old. It was 22 years ago. The charges were dropped. It did not go to trial. He was not convicted of anything. And I realized that, I mean, if you want to criticize the Detroit Lions for not being aware of this when they made a head coaching hire, I think that's valid. I think that's what the NFL wants to talk to the Lions about is, hey, you know, in the future, you probably ought to dig a little deeper when you make a high-profile hire like head coach. Fair enough.
Do you put any blame on Patricia for not telling the Lions?
No, he wasn't convicted.
Okay.
It's been more than two decades. He wasn't convicted. At some point, as a person, you have to move on from things. I don't know what happened, obviously, but he wasn't convicted. He wasn't even tried. At some point, you have to be willing to let someone move on. If an accusation that can never be proven is made, does that accusation just get to hang over you forever?
You're right. And in today's media society, yes. Yes.
Yes.
It will be in the top 3 to 4 graphs of every story about Patricia for months with some media members.
Well, it must be.
And if he gets fired, it will be, oh, look, this dude did this and then didn't work out as a coach.
Yeah, Wilkins throwing him under the bus for not telling the Lions about it. I don't think he had to tell the Lions about it. Had he been convicted? Yes.
Hey, by the way, I was found innocent of something 20 years ago.
Hey, by the way, I was falsely accused of something 22 years ago on a spring break in Texas when I was a college kid. She filed the charges. I got indicted, but the charges were dropped. I wasn't convicted of anything. I have no criminal record. I just wanted to tell you about it. In this big moment in my life when I'm trying to become an NFL head coach, I want to tell you about something that's not hanging over my head so that I can hang it over my head. It's been more than 2 decades.
So how did it come out? Somebody found it?
Some reporter just did a Google search and found it. If you want to criticize the Lions for not knowing, cool. I get it. That's okay.
Yeah, you probably ought to go a couple pages deep in a Google search when you hire a football coach.
Yeah, you probably ought to dig a little deeper. But if you're the Lions, should this have stopped you from hiring him? I would argue not.
No. It wouldn't have changed my mind, at least.
I will tell you this.
They appear to be sticking by him without much problem.
You and I joked about it yesterday, but it's true. When you're a kid, if you 20-year-olds out there in our listening audience, and given our analytics, there's some of you. Not much can happen at spring break that's good. When you do the pros and cons column, not much comes out of that drunken week in South Padre. Not much positive, but a lot of negative can come out. It can happen quick.
Yeah, if somebody goes, hey, you're going on spring break or your senior trip and your life is changing, it's most likely negative.
Almost certainly.
I guess it's possible you meet the love of your life, but...
it's possible.
If somebody met the love of your life on spring break, let me know.
Yeah, we'll tell that story.
Yeah, let me hear it. Well, you know, we were in Panama City, and it was 2 a.m. And
so we were at Panama City, and yeah. I had had far too many beers. She had had far too many wine coolers, and our eyes hooked up at the our eyes hooked up at Senior Frogs or whatever. And it's been love ever since.
Yeah.
She went to the University of Nebraska, and I went to Florida State.
We were pen pals courting like 1942 with letters for 6 months prior to.
Yeah, and now that I've read Dan Wilkins' take, I feel much better about mine.
Okay.
Must be nice to be that judgy. Hey, did you see where Deontay Anderson was a second-team All-SEC freshman?
Second-team All-SEC freshman, even though he actually didn't play and was a sophomore last year.
See, I did not remember him doing that last year as a freshman.
Well, he wasn't a freshman last year.
Well, the national media said that he was.
Well, what publication and how many freshman teams are there? Is there like 6-team freshmen?
I don't know.
Like, if I play the Snap-on special teams, am I 8-team All-SEC freshman?
I'm just telling you, man, what the national media said yesterday.
I saw that.
They said that he was...
It's almost like they have a narrative we're trying to push. I mean, yeah.
If you didn't know better...
I get the slightest glimmer of feeling it. Kind of like the princess and the pea, where she slept on the pea under the mattress, just feel a little bit of a little resistance there that there might be a narrative.
If you didn't know better, you would think that an attorney representing these players was feeding these stories to friendly media. If you didn't know better.
Yeah. But since you know better, it's freedom fighting is what it is. It's the search for the truth. It's Woodward and Bernstein.
Look, good luck to Deontay Anderson, okay? I mean, I have nothing against Deontay
Anderson. This really is nothing against the kids whatsoever.
And nothing against Brian Dixon. I hope it works out. I mean, I'm universally for the kids. But those were not SEC football players. You want to go back and criticize Hugh Freeze and his staff for their evaluation of those defensive football players and notice a trend? Good for you. But when you're the national media that is trying to create this narrative that Ole Miss lost these impact players due to this misleading of stop. Ole Miss lost out of this group one solid wide receiver in Van Jefferson and a quarterback whose value can be debated on a number of levels, and we have and will continue to. I'm not going to sit here and say that losing Shea Patterson was not a loss for Ole Miss. It absolutely was. But was it losing Joe Montana? It remains to be seen, and frankly, I doubt it.
Well, and the degree of loss depends on the success of the backup, and Jordan Tamu has at least shown a capability of playing SEC quarterback.
Yes, that's why it's not a crippling loss. Had he left and the backup quarterback was another person who was incapable of handling the job, well then...
Yeah, it changes the degree of loss. I mean, that's common sense. I mean, I'm not calling out guys, but Ole Miss has had past quarterbacks where if that was the backup, you go, oh my God, the loss is crippling and catastrophic. But yes. Tamu does not make that be the case. So anyway, to make sure your vacation is not catastrophic, give Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel a call. Completely free service, specializing in Walt Disney World or Disney Cruise Line vacations. Get you taken care of with dining, fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation. Getting you out of line and on to more rides. Mention the podcast. Get a $25 Disney gift card for booking. And you can find him for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com or 901-634-8687.
Let me tell you about one of our beer garden. I put up a beer garden yesterday. Mike Oz of Yahoo Sports. Ross Dellinger, soon to be of Sports Illustrated, now one of the lead college football writers, one of the national writers that you'll actually be able to enjoy, as opposed to some of the circus clowns that work at other outlets. They both joined me on the Beer Garden. The Beer Garden is brought to you in part by LB's Meat Market. I'll tell you a little bit about LB's. Right there on 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, if you're coming up for the games this weekend for graduation, you have a cookout, whatever you're doing, man, you owe it to yourself to go over to LB's. It's right across from Kroger in that shopping center. The freshest cuts in Oxford. I know Chase shops there some. I shop there a good bit as well. They've got, whether it's beef, the aged ribeyes, the bone-in ribeyes. Seafood, fresh from the Gulf, pork, sausage, chicken. It's all there at LB's. Go in, tell Greg Jones what you want. Call ahead 662-259-2999, or you can just go in and browse. He'll have it. He'll hook it up for you. Some of the best stuff that you'll have. You will not regret going to LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, don't look any further than Grenada Nissan. Just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, they have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And if you're in Oxford this weekend and you're looking at maybe that condo that you've been talking about, maybe you're moving to Oxford, maybe you're moving within Oxford, go to HarryAlexander.com. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been doing this more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. His email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. And the podcast brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay, mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. For coming up this weekend, you're going to start getting a little tailgating fever, football season. Not as far away as it seems. as we get into the summer months. It'll be August and September before you know it. And set up your tailgating now. Go to 7SouthTailgating.com. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the guys there at 7 South. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try 7 South once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your personal gear. You can rent everything from them. Whether you're coming up for one game, all the SEC games, or all of the games, 7 South has a package for you, 7SouthTailgating.com. And I've been telling you about this, Mississippi Flood Football Club tryouts will be Wednesday at 5:30 and then Sunday, May the 20th at 3 at beautiful FNC Park in Oxford. Mississippi Flood Football is the Oxford-based club that has become North Mississippi's premier competitive soccer program. It's run by volunteers to provide a structured competitive environment for your child, ranging from ages from 8 to 19 for both boys and girls. If you have any questions or want more information, contact Chuck Trost, 662-801-3783. And last but not least, we're brought to you by Billy's Pecans. Guests, join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline throughout the week. Let Billy's Pecans handle all of your corporate gifting, whether it's five orders or 5,000 orders or anything in between. They'll handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong, whether that's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. Everything is shipped out, professionally packaged. It's shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. Billy'sPecans.com or 1-800-624-7404.
A look at the SEC baseball slate for the weekend. Ole Miss and Auburn was the only Thursday night game. Ole Miss now half a game back of Arkansas in the SEC West, number 10 in national RPI. Arkansas hosts Texas A&M this weekend in Fayetteville. The big series, number 16 Georgia at number 1 Florida, other than Ole Miss and Auburn, obviously. Huge for Georgia to find a way to get one on the road in Gainesville. Florida pretty much already has everything locked up. Vanderbilt at Tennessee. Margin of error there for Vanderbilt pretty low. Missouri at South Carolina. Tough spot for the Tigers against the red-hot Gamecocks. Mississippi State at Kentucky. And then speaking of no margin for error, LSU at the box this weekend hosting Alabama. They need all three.
Oh, yeah. They have to have all three.
Yeah. They need all three at home. So there's
yeah, for sure.
There's that. Let's finish up on a bit of a funny note. You were knee-deep in vodka at Cathead last night. I told you it's a Friday. We're looking for a little bit of material. Pulled a couple Rotten Tomatoes movies to go over. Tried to find ones that you had seen, which is harder to do than if I was playing with Jeffrey, but I think we have accomplished this. So I'll give you one here. Speaking okay. of Cathead, speaking of vodka, 2009, The Hangover.
Oh, yes.
What do you think?
Critics
rating on The Hangover.
Critics rating on The Hangover.
Everybody's aware here. Ed Helms, Bradley Cooper, Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yeah, it's a phenomenal movie. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Great. just thinking about it makes me laugh. I'm going to guess that the critics, being the stuffy, hoity-toity critics that they can be, I'm going to guess they did not like it. I'm going to guess they thought it was ridiculous and all of those things, and they'll criticize some things, and they gave it in the 40s.
Okay. The Hangover is certified fresh.
Oh.
At 79%.
I'm going to guess viewers, I mean, the audience loved it.
84%.
There you go.
See? Didn't love it as much as I thought. I thought the audience score would be higher. I actually thought the critics, I thought it was just smart enough to let the critics be okay. The critics' consensus is with a clever script and hilarious interplay amongst the cast, The Hangover nails just the right tone of raunchy humor and the nonstop laughs overshadow any flaw from critics. So,
it was really
a real-world critical analysis there. Like, okay, I read that, and I don't think you guys just can't like a comedy or are idiots. That's good.
I'm fine with that one.
And okay. then the second one, one of my favorite, if it's on, I know it's a bad movie, but I can't help it. I have to finish it. Tom Cruise, 1988, Cocktail.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
If it's on, I watch it.
I do watch it, yes. It's such a bad movie that it is good and watchable.
Well, that's what I mean. But yeah, if you'll stop and watch a movie, even if the movie is, quote, bad, it's great.
This is Elizabeth Shue in her heyday as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm going to guess the critics killed it.
Okay.
And I'm going to guess the audience gave it a pretty good score.
Okay.
I'll say the critics gave it a 42 and the audience gave it a 77.
Okay. Well, you overshot both of those. you overshot the critics by a considerable margin. The critics found it rotten.
Yeah.
At 5%.
Oh my God. What did they say?
It's potentially one of the worst movies of all time on Rotten Tomatoes, is my guess. By the way, the audience found it at 58%, so over half. Not great, not terrible. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
The audience found it with an average rating of 3 out of 5. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I'm good with that. The critics on Cocktail said there are no surprises in Cocktail, a shallow, dramatically inert romance that squanders Tom Cruise's talents and what amounts to a naive barkeep's banal fantasy. That is critics on Cocktail.
You know, as someone who bartended some, I thought it was BS, but it made me laugh.
Did it?
Yeah, some. It's good. Yeah. I liked it.
Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, I watch it every time. It's one of my favorite dumb movies.
I could tell some bartending stories that would be true bartending stories and anybody who ever has bartended for any length of time, bartending's interesting. There's an interaction with from bartending that is, it's different than most anything else that you'll ever do.
eFilmCritic.com is one of the positive reviews on Cocktail, and the other one is from IGN Movie. Let's see. Both gave it 3 out of 5, actually, but it's still counted as a fresh. I'm trying to see if I can find the actual review from either one of them real quick before we move on. I think the only one I can find is from the Oz guy, and I'm not reading the entire time, but he closes with this. So, is Cocktail a must rent? It's kind of amusing if you can get past the awful Beach Boys music. Brownie, even though he's hysterically awful, I'm guessing that's Coughlin in the movie. Gets away with it. Nobody does inappropriate like Brownie, and Kelly Lynch wears a thong. So yeah, it's watchable. That was how he closed his review.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. So both ends of the spectrum. You get Hangover on one side, you get a Cocktail. Neither one would qualify as Citizen Kane or Spotlight, but that's how we'll go with the show today. So anyway, back at the studio on Monday, we have got some guests lined up next week. Hope to have a couple that I'm pretty excited about if we can get them all figured out. Appreciate the week of guests that we did across our family of podcasts. You got 8 podcasts this week. So we'll all look forward to, if you missed Neil's live show with Jay, that'll be up today on all the places that you enjoy your podcast. And we'll talk to you again on Monday.